So I've done a little bit of reading on this already, but say we're going to explain this to the guy on the elevator or something like that. Bioenthesis. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, essentially, most people don't quite realize just how challenging it is for your tendons to attach to the bone and actually apply force. And those forces can be really huge. And so when you tear your rotator cuff, usually the thing that is limiting the success of the repair is how well the bone attaches to the tendon. And that's been missing for a long time. And we came up with a method. You know, we started this work about 17 years ago, and we came up with a method to do that reattachment and use the body's own cells to kind of trick them into regrowing that interface.
So for those who may not know, what is a rotator cuff tear? How often does that happen, and who does it happen to?
The rotator cuff tears are essentially, so your shoulder's a really complicated joint. If you ever dislocated your shoulder, you appreciate it. But most of us will have some kind of shoulder problems as we get older, especially if you're an athlete. So Drew Brees had this kind of thing happen where the muscles pull off of the bone. And sometimes partially, sometimes completely. And then the doctors have to go in and the surgeons reattach it. But normally they'll anchor it down, they'll press it down, they'll staple it. But that generally doesn't have very good long-term results. And so what we were able to do is rebuild that interface. And with that interface, you can actually, you know, heal quicker, transmit load sooner. It's a really nice way to do it, but that transition from the tendon to the bone is a very, very difficult thing to replicate.
So if you were to get into the weeds a little bit and really kind of geek out about this thing, how would you describe what is actually happening when you go into the shoulder and you're trying to essentially repair that natural enthesis?
Yeah, it's actually kind of an amazing thing to see, because the surgeons do it all arthroscopically. So you're doing everything through a couple little holes, and you've got a camera in there, and it's an amazing thing to watch. But we actually take our construct, and it gets folded down, pressed in, and then it opens up and goes into the hole that the surgeon has made. And watching that whole process go, and you see the tools that they're using, and how they have to manipulate them while they're watching through the camera. It takes a tremendous amount of skill, and what we had to do to make sure that it was useful to the surgeons was not just have a great repair, but one that, you know, could be bent and folded and pressed into this little tiny space and then opened up so they can actually do all the attachments, make all the attachments they need to make. And if you're okay with the sight of blood and that kind of thing, it's quite interesting. It's a seriously engineered procedure.
So is there anywhere else in the body, any other joints, that is somewhat similar to this that could start making advancements in other parts of the body?
Honestly, essentially anywhere your muscles attach to bone. So if you tear your Achilles, you tear your patellar tendon, you tear any muscle attachment, this will help improve the outcomes.
So I did want to ask, when it comes to the research and how you've developed this over time, you and your partner, Daryl Dickerson, am I correct in that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was it about Purdue and its facilities that helped you get to this point?
Well, that's a great question. So Daryl and I started this 17 years ago. He was a first-year grad student here. And we it's kind of like in the movies where we're standing at a whiteboard, we're knocking ideas around, and then we come up with something, and you know, it almost glowed on the whiteboard. We knew we had something right away, and then you know, we benefited from so much expertise, right? So we had other engineers we could talk to. We had the vet school. Gert Brewer was a great collaborator here, and having that kind of expertise, that kind of surgical expertise, just you know, a few blocks away was tremendous. And then we had a lot of the tools and equipment that you don't just find anywhere. So I would say the equipment resources were outstanding, but really the best part of it was having the intellectual collaborators right here, and we benefited tremendously. There was a window where we had the Al Mann Institute here, and we got to work with people that had brought products to market. And you know, that's something that as a grad student you don't get trained in. And so having some people that had built successful companies mentor us was completely invaluable. It was remarkable.
That's awesome. So my last question is, what does the future look like for BioEnthesis? How does it make its way into other, you know, hospitals, surgeries? Like, what does the future look like for this?
Well, so as far as we've gone, the material seems to be doing very well. It works in the arthroscopic as part of an arthroscopic procedure, and as far as we can tell, you know, there's a whole range of applications for this, and so I think it's just you're taking those applications one at a time. But we hope that we're changing how orthopedic surgery is done, and making it less invasive with better outcomes. And we've had some really, really good partnerships with the surgeons. So we're hoping that this is a big development and is able to find its way into a bunch of other muscle attachment sites.
Well, Eric, I'm all good on my end. But as far as you're concerned, is there anything else that you and your team are working on, or anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap it up?
Oh, just that the students that I have here are wonderful, and it's pretty easy to keep coming up with new things when you've got inspiring students. That's really the best thing.